Good morning, and welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville. We have a number of announcements today. First of all, there's an insert inside your bulletin for the all-church picnic. That is today at 2:30 till dusk at Camp Laurelville, and the details of that are on that flyer. So please be aware of that and come to the church picnic. Thank you to Mike Prinke for bringing the message this morning. Thank you, Mike. We'll thank him ahead of time. Schedule for the week, Women's Bible Study is Monday at 7 p.m. Thursday, AA Circles Zumba Class, Al-Anon is Friday, and AA is Saturday. Workday is Tuesday, September 13th from 9 to 12. All hands are welcome. And there will be a history paperwork organizing work period on Wednesday and Thursday, that's this week, all are welcome. That is from 12 to 2. From 12 to 2 on Wednesday and Thursday. And if you're interested in helping, contact Jerry Hollister. Okay. Are there any other announcements? Wanda.
Gary, choir rehearsal on Thursday night at
6:45. Okay. Choir rehearsal Thursday at 6:45. Any other announcements? No? The community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn is found in the Brown Hymnal, on page 687, God of Our Fathers, verses 1, 2, and 4, and please stand. When we gather to worship in God's house, we are not only honoring God and opening our lives to God's transforming spirit, we are also making a statement to our friends and neighbors that we have made a commitment to Christ and that God is important in our lives. Let us pray. As we come into your special presence in this house of worship, we are aware that you sought us long before we came to you. We responded only because you reached out in love. We, like the lost sheep and the lost coin, did not beg to be found. Therefore, we respond in faith, and we thank you for your persistence in seeking us out. For it is in your name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Thank you. Please be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. Our God is a God who seeks. Let us also, through our gifts, seek out those in our community and around the world who have not heard the good news. Our offertory hymn is found in the Brown Hymnal on page 338. We sing the greatness of our God.
As we give, we also pray for those who will receive the word of life because we have given. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 to 52. Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with him, as you have seen. Samaria did not commit half the sins you did. You have done more detestable things than they, and have made your sisters seem righteous by all these things you have done. Bear your disgrace, for you have furnished some justification for your sisters. Because your sins were more vile than theirs, they appear more righteous than you. So then, be ashamed and bear your disgrace, for you have made your sisters appear righteous. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Our anthem this morning is a prayer for our time by our sanctuary choir.
That day started out 15 years ago, rather crisp and cool. It was a calm before the storm on September 11th, 2001, and it seemed a normal day until the report of breaking news grabbed our attention. Panic mingled with frustration as we watched the Twin Towers crumble to the ground and the Pentagon being partially destroyed, and a plane going down in nearby Somerset. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This verse reminds us that God in Christ has overcome the world. And if God has overcome the whole world, God certainly can take care of us. In times of despair, God offers us peace. Our anthem today was written in response to 9/11. And some of the words, if you listen carefully, are rather stunning. For instance, when evil draws its angry sword and seeks to sever freedom's cord, and when death and darkness shake our faith in God's unfailing power to save, eternal Father, be our courage in the time of need.
To the Christian Church of Connellsville. Let's take a few moments, and as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer, do we have any prayer requests we'd like to lift up this morning? All right, let's take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time when we can come together as your family. This is a Sunday of remembrance. It's also a time of thanksgiving, and I hope a time to renew our commitment. Commitment that we make to try to build a better world. Let us all be people that echo the love and the mercy that was shown by Jesus. And in so doing, create a world here on earth that echoes heaven above. Lord, we know that so many have lost, and that time does not necessarily heal all those wounds. We know that as a country, we sometimes struggle to find our way. But Lord, we know that if we keep you forefront in our thoughts, you will be our guiding light. Lord, we lift up to you the family of Larry Orlando. And too, we lift up Don Ainsley's family as they suffer the loss. We pray for Jerry's brother who is still struggling. We ask that you give him and his family strength in these difficult times. We pray too for Judy's friend as she searches for a new place to live. And we rejoice in the health of baby Eli, and we pray for the coming days for him to be better days and brighter days for him and for his family. And Lord, we thank you for the wonderful blessing that our choir gives our church. They may be small, but they are mighty. They always lift their voices up in praise, and they edify all of us as we hear them. And Lord, we pray too for the victims of the crash on I-79. Lord, we know that these are troubling times and difficult times for the families of those involved. Lord, we pray that your blessing, that your peace will settle down across them. They might be able to hope for brighter days and better times. Lord, we continue to pray for those here in Connellsville who have been affected by the floods, that have lost so much, but we rejoice too in the community's response. Those that have worked tirelessly to try to set things right. And Lord, we also remember those in our military who still struggle to protect us from the tragedies of the sort that occurred 15 years ago. Lord, we pray for their continued safety and for your continued blessing on them and their families. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Will the children come forward for the children's sermon?
We have everyone? You're going to step there? Okay. Just don't wander around, okay? Okay, do you know what it means to be prepared? Do you know what that means, to be prepared? Girls, do you know what it means to be prepared? Mom says, be prepared to go away. What's it mean?
That means when you move, you have to have all your stuff in your box.
Right, you have to put your stuff in boxes. When you go to school, you have to be prepared. You have to have your pencils and your crayons and your paper. You have to be prepared. Well, guess what? Remember last week, most of you were here last week. I thought Linda had junior sermon, and Linda thought I had junior sermon. Guess what? Linda was right. I was wrong. I was unprepared. I got confused. I thought I wasn't ready. So, what happened? Reverend Nikki took over for us. She stepped in. Let's think about this. Do you think the people that were in the flood in Connellsville, do you think they were prepared for that?
No.
No, they weren't prepared. How do you prepare for that? Because you don't know.
Was equal in all. when they touch their elves, when they wash the in, all of the blood would come out.
Right. What she said basically was, when they saw the water come down, they had to watch. They had to be prepared to leave. Right?
To another house.
Right. They could be prepared. If they knew what was going on, they could be prepared.
Like, we had changing houses. We had changing houses to our old house to a new house.
Okay, so we had to prepare from an old house to a new house. That's right. And a few years ago, there was this thing that happened in our country where somebody did some bad things to our country. We weren't prepared for that either. And so, what do we do when we're unprepared? Huh? Do we know?
Yeah.
We help people. We have people help us. Guess what? When you go to school and there's a child beside you that doesn't have any crayons and you have crayons, what do?
You air them.
You share them. That's right. Well, what if they break your crayon? Do you think they're going to break them on purpose? No.
But they do
break them. That's right. If you break it, you have done two, and you can share. Both have the same color.
What if you accidentally lost all your... If you were coloring and keep on breaking all of them through, and if anyone got two, give them to them because...
You could share. That's right. We could share. So what we have to remember is, anytime we see somebody that has trouble, what do? We help. We share. We get prepared. Okay? Good job today, guys. We'll see you next week.
Our second scripture reading is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24, and that's on page 52 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our heart condemns us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. For one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So 15 years ago, our country changed in just a few hours. We likely all remember where we were when the news found us. For most of us, this was the first time that external violence had found its way to our shores, and whatever illusions we may have held about our invincibility vanished. Fear came to us in a way then that likely hadn't existed since World War II or the Cuban Missile Crisis. For a few months at least, we felt vulnerable. I was in New York City for a conference just a few weeks after the attacks. I spent much of my time there walking around Manhattan, absorbing the city. I walk from my hotel in Midtown down to Times Square. Large parts of Lower Manhattan were still closed off as cleanup crews were still hard at work. And as I walked, I remember more than anything the spirit of the city and how it differed from what I had come to know about New York and New Yorkers. The people were friendly. They smiled. They were filled with a different vibe than I had come to expect. People were people again, not merely competition for parking space or subway seat. In the wake of that tragedy, the concern for one another had returned, and if only for a short while, one of the largest cities in the world felt a bit like a small town full of friends and neighbors. Tragedy brings communities together as few other things can. It challenges us to marshal resources that we didn't know we possessed. It can thaw icy relationships, dispel prejudice, and embolden our better angels. In times of crisis, it becomes natural to extend a hand of assistance or friendship and return a smile of acceptance and gratitude. In times of trouble, that is just what good people do. Our community suffered a blow just 2 weeks ago. Likely all of you know someone affected by the flooding, and I'm proud to say that our community has responded in ways that should make us all proud. Scott Blasey, the singer of the Clarks and hometown boy, helped get the ball rolling to raise money for community ministries to help those impacted by the flood, and many local businesses stepped up to match donations. Other communities from around the region and even from states away sent relief supplies and donations. In the face of tragedy, again, returned our sense of community. And we should give thanks to God for that community and for all of the help and the ability to help that He has given us. But I do have a confession to make, though. Ruth and I were visiting my parents in Normalville that Sunday evening. We just left after dark to drive home. It wasn't raining there yet. I loaded Ruth into my truck and we drove down Springfield Pike. The rain just started as we rounded North Face, and of course it rained hard and I had to drive a bit slower than normal. We came down Crawford Avenue and saw water running down the road several inches deep. We drove on through the storm and arrived home in Dunbar where the storm hadn't started yet. For us, the storm was over. Just a minor footnote on an otherwise uneventful evening. Later that night, I read the comments on Facebook about the destruction the storm had caused. And at first, to me, it all seemed a little overwrought and breathless. Maybe the horrible flooding in Louisiana and West Virginia that had dominated headlines just made the latest news in Connellsville seem a little bit overheated and exaggerated. But of course, as the details came to light and the scale of the loss became known, I found that those were not exaggerations, and I saw something inside of me that made me deeply sorry and alarmed. I read that Old Testament scripture from Ezekiel, and it stung me in a way that I hadn't felt in a long time. Now, this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and the needy. Ezekiel is a hard read. Chapter 16 in particular is an ugly indictment of God's people. This particular verse jumps out because it lays bare the sin of Sodom not for the sexual sins normally associated with it, but that they were arrogant, they were overfed, they were unconcerned, and they had no need to bother with the poor. I felt that verse was talking about me. In that moment, I was arrogant and unconcerned with the loss of these poor people in the storm. That was something that I needed to correct. Perhaps our instantly connected world has conditioned us to filter these things out and taught us to be subconsciously cynical to the cries of the needy. Of course, we cannot be fully aware of the needs of the world and still tend to our own responsibilities. So the many cries and crises blend together into cacophony that we have to tune out. But I fear that we may do that at our own peril, because we filter out the and ignore and get along with our lives, we risk becoming overfed and unconcerned and arrogant. My great concern is that we have become too inured to crisis and tragedy that we cannot appreciate it until it impacts us or someone close to us directly. Must we face pictures of dead and displaced children fleeing from Syria before we're moved to act? Must we see dozens of overdoses in a single day in Akron, Ohio, before we are pressed to face the drug crisis in our own community? Are these the only way to get our attention and tunnel through our cynicism? Fred Rogers offered some profound advice about these times of crises, and it provided me with the title of the message today. He said, "When I was a boy, I would see scary things in the news. My mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You'll always find people who are helping.' That is so powerful, and not just as a comfort for children, but as a call to action for adults. We are Mr. Rogers' helpers. We are God's helpers. We are the hands and feet of Christ in the world. And we read in 1 John, 'Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth.' And as the crises of the world wash over us, let us endeavor to identify ourselves with the helpers as kindred spirits, and in doing so, seek ways that we might be better helpers ourselves." Let me leave you with a few ideas. Let's aspire to be helpers every day, not just in times of tragedy, not just to help those who fit our philosophical and ethical requirements, not just for the innocent, not just for the people we know and see every day. Let us identify as helpers writ large. Personally, I think we need to share our wealth with the world. There are so many children living without food and water and proper education. Trina and I have sponsored children through reputable charities for many years, and I genuinely feel the tug on my heart to do more. Our ability to support the needy around the world is something that we need to take seriously. I don't want to feel the weight of Ezekiel 16 on me, knowing that the cost of one dinner out at a restaurant could feed a child for a month. If that is within your power to help, I encourage you to seek out a charity and sponsor a child. And we need to look to help those among us that need our help. We know the Circles program does wonderful work, and if you're part of that effort, I applaud you. If you're not, then consider how you can be part of that ministry to help lift local families up out of generational poverty. I saw a video reposted by a friend on Facebook. It evoked a conversation between two old people. The first complained of the drug problem that the community faced. And the reply came, "I had a drug problem when I was a child too. I was drugged to church. I was drugged to family events. I was drugged to this and that." And on its face, it's funny, but it's also unmerciful. While the sentiment may be true that church and community can provide addicts with strength they need to succeed, it also implicitly blames them and their parents for not doing the right thing and condemns them to suffer the consequences. I don't think blaming is helping in any context. And I'd encourage you to tune your ears to hear that blame and root it out, lest we allow it to make us arrogant and unconcerned. And last, I think we need to prayerfully seek God's wisdom as we set our own personal priorities. In our cynical world, it seems that everyone has an agenda, every issue has its spin, every cloud has its silver lining, and every silver lining its touch of gray. But I offer you this agenda, to the exclusion of all others, from the prophet Micah. He has shown you, O mortal, what good is. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. May we seek each day to be God's helpers, acting in ways that are just, always seeking and embracing mercy, and following the humble path that Jesus has exemplified for us. Amen. Community comes together at the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 4, and the brown hymnal, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord."
That's number 400.
I'm sorry, 400.
before I start the communion meditation, I just wanted to thank Mike for that beautiful, thought-provoking, emotional message that he shared with us. And I also want to say, at the church board meeting this week, we decided to do something more to help the flood victims. Many in our church have independently and in small groups helped in many, many different ways. But we're going to take a financial offering up over the next several weeks, culminating on October 2nd, Jerry. And so you can give independently up until then. You can just put it in your envelope and mark it, or you can take one of the extra envelopes from the back and mark it for the flood. We set a goal of $1,000, which the church will come up with the excess if we don't get that high. But we would like to even raise over $1,000. So please give from your hearts. I know many of you have already, and we would just like to give a community a donation to it from this church. Sunny was also contacting all the other disciples' churches in the areas, and so a large disciple donation will go in to community ministries from the disciple community in large. So, and now we'll have our communion meditation, and I'm using, that was my mother's favorite scripture. Yeah. Take me a minute here. The meditation is also from my mother this morning. This isn't the full meditation, but I just took some thoughts from one she had a long time ago, and I think a lot of you might remember it. Sorry. It's called the Lord's Table. This is the Lord's Table. The marks of his ownership are upon it, the cup and the bread, symbols of his shed blood and his broken body. And when we see these here, they tell us that this is his table. He is the host here. But there's some other adjectives that also describe this table. One of them is that it is an old table. It's been in existence for almost 2,000 years. But time hasn't changed it. It hasn't deteriorated it in any way. With the passing of years, if anything, it's become more significant to us and to the community as a whole. Change and decay we see all through the world, but not here. This stays the same, always. This is also a long table. It literally reaches around the world to all nations. And it's so long ago when Christ sat at the table with his 12 disciples, he sits here with us now. He's the host with his fellow disciples, his fellow believers gathered around him. This is also a family table. Those that are around this table are members of his world family. They wear his name. There are the old, the young, the rich, the poor, all races, all nations. And at this table, the floor is level, no special seating. He loves everyone. So at this table, we should remember him as he requested, his life and death, his ministry on earth, death on the cross, resurrection, and his promises to all Christians. But most importantly, we want to remember him as our personal Savior. And also our relationship to him as his humble disciples. May we have our prayer, please.
Dear Father God, as we gather today at your table, we recognize that throughout all time, you have welcomed everyone to come to you. We thank you for loving us, providing for us, comforting us, rejoicing with us, and guiding us. Help us, Lord, to be instruments of your peace. Help us to do what we each can to make our community and the lives of all around us better. Guide us, Lord, in ways in which we can be that true instrument of love. And may we demonstrate it each and every day of our lives. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed and broke it. And gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." Then he took the cup and blessed it, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, shed for the remission of sin. As often as you take this bread and drink this cup, you remember the Lord's death until he comes again.
The community responds to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Christ as your Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing our invitational hymn, A Song of Peace, and that is number 682 in your brown hymnal. Please stand.
Thank you. Father, we are grateful for the peace that is present here in our little rural town this morning. And we are looking forward to our church picnic this afternoon. We know you will be with us in the mountains as we enjoy one another's company and fellowship. And as we end our church services now, let us keep in our minds and hearts the souls of the thousands of innocent Americans, just like us, who lost their lives in New York, Washington, D.C., and Shanksville, PA, 15 years ago today. These innocent souls left home that morning and never returned, never saw their loved ones again. This because of their beliefs and their way of life in America, just like us. So we pause this morning in remembrance of them, and we pray to you, our Creator, asking for guidance to stop the terrorism and for help for all your people in every country to stop the hatred and to work towards harmony. Please hear our prayer. Amen.